2024 Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be more independent music. Report on the Northwest League, updates on the Man Cup 2024, an interview about the Trans Mountain expansion with the background and latest on the Surrey Police transition, after the following messages.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of the community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
Welcome back. Sorry that I just missed the pin on the CJSF Plex music account. First up in the second half is the third act of the hour, Crawlers, The Mess We Seem to Make with Golden Bridge.
Phone. Holding my throat, it's like a comfort.
That was Golden Bridge from Quarrelers, The Mess We Seem to Make. I'd like to report on the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. The Hillsboro Hawks shaded the host Tri-City Dust Devils 2-1 at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. The visitors, Eugene Emeralds, stunned the Vancouver Canadiens with 5 runs in the top of 7th, highlighted by back-to-back solo home runs from Alan Serda, Jack Payton, both off Irv Carter that put Eugene up 5-3, but Vancouver scored 3 runs in the bottom of 9th as Peyton Williams capped off with a 2-run single off Daniel Blair. As Bryce Arnold and Marcos De La Rosa ran home as the Canadiens walked off the Emeralds 6-5 in Rogers Field at Nat Bailey in Vancouver, BC. Meanwhile, the Spokane Indians bested their host Everett Aqua Sox 7-5 as Spokane scored 2 runs in the top of 8th at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. 3 games were also on tap for September 8th. Vancouver doubled up Eugene 8-4, highlighted by Marco De La Rosa's 2-run home run off Cody Tucker in the bottom of 4th, which was the eventual game-winning hit. Meanwhile, Spokane thumped Everett 9-2 with runs in 5 of 9 innings, and Hillsboro tripled up Tri-City 3-1.
The SFU Disability and Neurodiversity Alliance, referred to as DNA, is a student-led network of community members who identify as disabled, autistic, neurodivergent, deaf, mad, and or as having a disability, a chronic illness, long-term condition, or a mental illness. At DNA, we work together to create campus change. We address ableism, and we promote disability justice while opposing oppression in all of its forms. We are the SFU Disability and Neurodiversity Alliance. We are DNA. We provide support for students who are having difficulty with their schooling or accessing the services they need. Email access@sfss.ca or drop by the DNA Resource Center, room 1300 in the sub-building. That was access@sfss.ca, room 1300 in the sub-building.
Here are the final standings in the Northwest League. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies, clinched first in the second half at 41-25 and overall at 79-51. The Vancouver Canadiens, which finished second at 38-28, clinched the other playoff spot and were also second overall at 68-61. As for the rest, the Hillsboro Hawks, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, finished third at 69-62. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, 64-68. Fourth, the Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, 59-72. And the Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, finished last at 53-78. The first and second half division winners play in the NWL Championship Series in any given season. But since the Spokane Indians won both halves, the second best team, the Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, earned the second spot. The 2024 NWL Championship Series between the top seed Spokane Indians and the second seed Vancouver Canadiens kicked off in Rogers Field at Nat Bailey on September 10th in Vancouver, BC. With the score tied at 3 apiece in the top of 9th, the Indians went ahead 4-3 on a Jose Cordova single off Alex Amarfi as Brian Betancourt scored from third and Sam Weatherly struck out the Canadiens' Jay Harry swinging to end the game as Spokane shaded Vancouver 4-3 for a 1-0 lead in the Best of Five 2024 NWL Championship Series, which resumed the next day on September 11th. With the score 2-1 Spokane in the bottom of six, Brennan Orff hit a single off Bryson Hammer, which played a Jay Harry from third and Cutter Coffey from first for a 3-2 Vancouver lead. The Canadians doubled their lead the next inning in the bottom of seventh as Cutter Coffey hit a single off Braxton Hyde as Javon Ward scored from second. Spokane trimmed the lead in the top of eighth as Charlie Condon hit a sacrifice fly off Gason Arbias to center fielder Jace Bofforin as Kyle Carroll scored from third. But that was as far as the Indians got as the Canadians' Bo Bonds shut the door for a 4-3 win as Vancouver tied a best-of-five series one game apiece. The 2024 NWL Championship Series shifts to Spokane tonight as the Canadians invade Gonzaga University's Patterson Baseball Complex. According to the Spokane Indians Twitter page, the first pitch is at 6:35 p.m.
Hello, this is Kelly from the Peak Publication Society, SFU student-led newspaper. Recently, news organizations have been facing issues sharing news content. All news outlets, including small publications like us, have been affected due to Meta's refusal to comply with the Online News Act and compensate news companies. We have been serving our diverse student community for years and need your support to continue. If you'd like to contribute as a paid writer, illustrator, or photographer, follow us on Instagram at thepeak@SFU. Keep reading our stories at the-peak.ca. If Meta is listening, we're just a community promoting SFU events. Please don't block us again.
Welcome back. I'd like to update on the Man Cup 2024, which pits the Senior A Box Lacrosse champions from the Western Lacrosse Association, based in BC's Lower Mainland, and from the Major Lacrosse League, based in Ontario, at this time. On September 7th, according to the WLA website, the BCLA, the British Columbia Lacrosse Association, submitted an appeal to Lacrosse Canada regarding the eligibility of Mike Messenger and Will Malcolm, which Lacrosse Canada forwarded the appeal to Safe Sport. Meanwhile, Game 2 of the Man Cup 2024 took place later on September 7th as the Six Nations Chiefs shellacked the Victoria Shamrocks 10-4 as Ellen McLaughlin and Lyle Thompson scored 3 goals each to tie the best-of-seven series at 1 apiece. On September 9th, the BCLA and Lacrosse Canada forwarded the appeal regarding the eligibility of Mike Messenger and Will Malcolm for the Victoria Shamrocks, the 2024 WLA champs, directly to Sports Dispute Resolution Center of Canada, which heard a case in the afternoon, attended by SDRCC, Lacrosse Canada, WLA, and BCLA staff. Mike Messenger and Will Malcolm were eligible to compete for the 2024 Man Cup, effective immediately. Game 3 of the 2024 Man Cup occurred on the night of September 9th, while Will Malcolm made impact in his first game for the Shamrocks as he scored a goal and an assist in Period 1, including the final goal to give Victoria a 4-2 lead to close out first. The Shamrocks went up 5-2-118 into Period 2 on a Casey Wilson tally, but the Six Nations scored the next 5 goals, led by Dane Smith, 2 goals and 2 assists, as the Six Nation Chiefs grabbed a 2-1 series lead at Iroquois Lacrosse Arena. The Chiefs grabbed a 3-1 stranglehold in a 12-9 barn burner on September 10th, while the Shamrocks' Clark Patterson opened the scoring with first 2 goals. Shane Jackson led the Six Nations attack with 4 goals as the Six Nations Chiefs grabbed a 3-1 series lead. On September 11th, the Six Nations Chiefs survived a 13-9 slugfest over the Victoria Shamrocks, whose 8-7 lead after the second period was upended with the Chiefs' 6-1 outburst, led by Ellie McLaughlin's 5 goals, 2 assists, while Lyle Thompson scored 2 goals, 3 assists, as he finished the series with 10 goals, 11 assists for 21 points and was named the 2024 Man Cup MVP as the Six Nations Chiefs won their second straight Man Cup, according to Cleve Deanshaw of Times Colonist. The Six Nations Chiefs also earned their fifth crown since 2013 for their eighth championship overall, according to Brian Smiley of the Brantford Expositor.
For a community who will support you on your academic journey, the Student Learning Commons has got your back. The Student Learning Commons is SFU's Academic Success Center. We provide free workshops, one-on-one consultations, coaching, and online tutoring with a focus on writing, study skills, and academic English. All Student Learning Commons programs and services are available to SFU students and are approved by SFU as providing ethical, academically honest support. Learn more by visiting our locations in the library on all three SFU campuses, or check us out online at learningcommons.sfu.ca.
Now I'd like to play my interview with Charmaine Flugoth, who is the Emergency Management Coordinator for Burnaby City. Just a minute, please. Just have to drag the interview. Just a minute, please. Oh. What did I do? Sorry, just a minute, please. I just have to play this. I will play it. Sorry. I'd like to play this interview, but the thing is that for some reason it's not working right now. Okay, I will play from computer 2 at this time. Just a minute, please. Hello, my name is Steve Chong. Today is September 12th, 2024, and I'm interviewing...
My name is Charmaine Flugoth. I am the Emergency Management Coordinator of the City of Burnaby.
Please tell me about your background.
I have been with the city for quite some time, and I have been the Emergency Management Coordinator since 2008. I am a certified emergency manager with expertise in emergency planning, including prevention, mitigation, preparedness, response, recovery, and I am a business continuity professional.
So last month, Burnaby posted a video on YouTube using 2021 numbers and produced in 2021 in relation to Burnaby's mitigation measures in preparation for the Trans Mountain expansion. Please expand on Burnaby's mitigation measures.
The City of Burnaby does a wide range of preparedness. Mitigation is actually the effort the city takes to try and stop an emergency from happening or to reduce the impacts. So mitigation is quite a broad area that involves any number of city departments and affects any number of measures that could happen across the city. Specific to Trans Mountain, Dave. I'm really not able to disclose any additional information at this time because it involves so many other departments.
Okay.
So you're focusing your questions on the animation, and my area is about the full-scale exercise. So I see where your frustration is, but if you're wanting to speak about the animation and what came about from that animation, you're going to have to speak to the experts at ONIC who prepared the report.
Okay.
I have read the report, and I am considering the report in emergency plans, but I cannot speak to the animation or the content of the report.
Okay. Sorry, it's quite a curveball here.
Well, the way you posed your question to our public affairs department, or to the mayor, was that you wanted to discuss the city preparing for a full-scale exercise.
Yes.
And I'm happy to share that the full-scale exercise is a direction or a council resolution for the city to undertake a full-scale exercise. What we are doing is preparing a planning committee to plan for the exercise, as well as the training that would need to go along to train not only city staff, but also our external agencies and non-government organizations that may be involved in a response to any type of hazard. So the city is required by the Disaster and Emergency Management Act to have a training and exercise program. And the delivery of this full-scale exercise is a component of what we would do as a part of our annual exercise program.
What are some differences between the annual exercise program and the full-scale exercise, which I understand will take place in a few years, like 2027?
The exercise program includes a number of different exercise types, from orienting staff to the emergency plans that we have or new plans that we have developed, functional exercises where the city staff would test their knowledge of training that they have received and the utilization of plans. And a full-scale exercise takes all of our external agencies, our business partners, our industry partners, and our higher levels of government and brings them all together so that we are all exercising the same scenario to test and validate how our plans are interlinked and the function of our plans.
Lastly, it's interesting when the press release regarding Burnaby's full-scale exercise regarding the Trans Mountain expansion was released due to the upcoming BC fall election, where climate change is one of the major debating points. Please respond.
Full-scale or exercises, pardon me, are an element of the city's overall exercise program. And the last time the city conducted a full-scale exercise was 2006, and council decided that now was the time to start planning for another full-scale exercise.
Thank you for sharing more about Burnaby's next full-scale exercise on top of the city's annual exercises this afternoon. Thank you.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her two petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review on being forced to continue with the SPS, was rejected on May 23, 2024, followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th, and culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th, according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029, when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP may kick in and continue until 2034, for a total of up to $250 million. Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. On September 7th, the SPS attended the Fleetwood Community Festival. Two events occurred on September 9th. The Surrey Police Board announced that their latest meeting will be on September 18th. Also on September 9th, just 3 days after adding 13 new recruits who will train at the Justice Institute of British Columbia, the SPS added 27 experienced officers and 11 civilian employees in a special ceremony, which increases the SPS total number of sworn police officers to 410, on top of 66 civilian employees, to a total of 476 employees. The most recent 40 new police hires will be deployed in the frontline investigative services, youth, recruit constable, among other departments, according to the SPS Twitter page, which posted some pics from the 22nd Fleetwood Community Festival on September 10th. On September 11th, the SPS tweeted out their next info session, which will take place on October 5th. Today, the SPS Constable Rita Law is participating in the Cops for Cancer, which has raised $6,000 for the Canadian Cancer Society. The SPS is slated to become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29th, 2024. Thank you for listening to episode 35 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it's Voice of the North.